I think a lot of the things that I'm going to be speaking to are going to be pretty similar to what you just heard, because I think what's true for Latinos across the country, or Texas, is sort of like a big tail that kind of wags the dog sometimes. So my name is Mimi Garcia. I am the Texas State Director for Enroll America. And my disclosure in the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. No relationships to disclose. So I'm going to talk a little bit this afternoon about our work specifically as Enroll America and what our perspective is. Some of the challenges to coverage for Latinos in Texas specifically, because I think there's a couple of things that are sort of true in Texas that aren't necessarily true elsewhere. And then talk about the strategies that we employed during this first open enrollment period to really engage that community. We'll talk about some of the outcomes and then some of the new strategies that we've been implementing based off of what we learned during that first enrollment period for the second enrollment period that started on Saturday. So Enroll America is a national 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our headquarters is in Washington, D.C., and up until about, it started in 2011, and it used to just be a handful of people in D.C. In 2013, about 6 months before the marketplace opened, we launched the Get Covered America campaign, which launched in 11 states with on-the-ground staff campaigns, including Texas, Florida, Arizona, Georgia, New Jersey. I'm going to leave a whole bunch out. And five more. In addition to having on-the-ground organizing staff to engage partners and consumers, we are also doing a lot of support work in states that have state-based run exchanges and state-based care or coalitions and helping to support those. One of those big partnerships is actually in California, where we help support a lot of the outreach work and strategies. So when we launched the Get Covered America campaign, we knew that it was going to take a certain amount of face-to-face conversations in addition to digital, paid media, earned media, as many different places that we could reach people to let them know about their options. But at the same time, we also kind of had no idea what was really going to work. This was the first time that anything like this had happened, and even comparing it to Medicare enrollment and outreach when Medicare Part D came open, and even Medicare 50 years ago, nothing like this had been done before. So we were operating in a lot of assumptions about it, but really learning along the way. Our goal, because we don't do the actual enrollment assistance, is in building capacity of local partners, training partners, having researched best practices. We have very data-driven strategies, and then conducting community outreach, using that data to focus in the areas where the uninsured live and work, and also focusing on in-person, face-to-face engagement and a follow-up program that has we found to be really, really central to people taking action. And before I move on a little bit to the specifics on challenges for Latinos, one of the elements in our data, or in our ability to be targeted across the country and across the 11 states where we have staff campaigns, was the development of some predictive modeling around an individual's likelihood of being uninsured, which allowed us to build maps across the country and in the states at the zip code and sometimes even precinct level to find hot spots for people who were uninsured. In a lot of places, the Census Puma maps were both very outdated but also not precise enough, and this allowed us to really be able to hone in on what were the communities and what were the community leaders in the areas that we wanted to engage there. So some of my staff in South Texas kind of laugh at us and at our national office whenever we talk about, oh, what kind of Latino enrollment events or things like that are happening this weekend? And they're like, Mimi, we just call them enrollment events down here. in some ways, thinking about Latino engagement in Texas is a little bit difficult because it's so much of the fabric of the things that people do. And so, and working with some of my colleagues and putting this together today, really thinking about what were the specific things that were challenging the community and that we had to work around. So in Texas, Latinos are about 39% of the population. They also represent about 39% of the state's uninsured. That varies widely across the state. The Latino population in Houston makes up a much larger proportion of the uninsured there than they do in Dallas. The Latino population is most of the uninsured population in South Texas. So that also shapes the way that outreach work happens in different areas of the state. And some survey studies that have been going on through Rice University with the support of the Episcopal Health Foundation, and doing a recurrent survey studies with comparing Hispanics and non-Hispanics and their perceptions of the ACA and their uptake rates, found also that Latinos were more likely to be uninsured and having trouble to pay medical bills, but were also more likely to be optimistic about the ACA coverage, which is very interesting. So even though they were having some of the hardest times dealing with health coverage and the medical infrastructure, they had some more hope about what this could mean for them. So one of the challenges, of course, in a state like Texas, where the 40% of the population identifies as Latino, is that the Latino population in Texas is incredibly diverse. And we have people who have, you know, immigrated in the last few weeks, to people whose families have been living there for 500 years. So the level of integration in the community and the challenges and also the class challenges that happen with that are very unique. Latinos, of course, are disproportionately uninsured, and the Medicaid coverage gap is a major concern. I think as we were talking about earlier, because of the impact of poverty in the Latino community and the fact that Texas has not expanded Medicaid coverage means that many people who have coverage options for their children through CHIP or Medicaid have no option for themselves. Mixed status families, as you were saying before, there's a lot of fear and confusion and just fear of even starting the process and a lot of immigration questions. Something that I had not anticipated as much in the border communities is transnational families, particularly in places like El Paso and Laredo and Brownsville, where a parent may live in Juarez for 5 days out of the week working in Mexico, but also has a residence in El Paso, and the children live and go to school in El Paso. How do you deal with that kind of question? And those kinds of more complicated immigration issues were very challenging for people doing enrollment work. Language and cultural competencies of the assister groups. So, it's not enough just to have somebody who speaks Spanish on staff. Understanding the community and understanding the needs is very important. Another issue that we run into very frequently, particularly in South Texas, but we still run into it in North Texas also, is that people who still seek medical care in Mexico, who've immigrated to the United States or they've lived on both sides of the border all of their life and their doctors are in Mexico, their dentist is in Mexico, that if they need to get something done, they're going to go to Mexico. And so thinking about when care is less expensive and they feel like doctors understand them culturally better in Mexico, how do you convince somebody that buying health insurance in the United States that's only going to cover doctors here in the United States is a good idea? And then, of course, this preference for in-person assistance. Through some survey research that we had conducted, we found that Latinos are three times more likely than their white counterparts to want to have in-person assistance. And what that in-person assistance experience looks like is very different a lot of times between Latinos and white families. So having the level of culturally competent, trained assisters available became a huge priority. So talking about some of our strategies for connecting with Latinos in Texas, some of these I think are kind of no-brainer, and maybe some are a little bit more unusual, but one of the biggest ones is for us as a campaign in Texas was a priority as I was getting the campaign started in Texas was really this area around cultural competency and native knowledge. So the power of being able to hire field organizing staff from the communities they organize meant that people knew who the decision makers were. People knew who those staff knew who the influencers were and going to be able to move people forward. Building relationships with the local trusted messengers and leaders. In some places, that's a church leader, but in other places, it's the guy who owns the panaderia, and they're having community meetings there on a regular basis. Understanding that field. Learning and understanding the history of the community, and of course, utilizing promotoras, promotores, those networks, was a big part of just finding people in the first place. That's actually one of our staff there. Partnerships, of course, as we were talking about, and a lot of the very same partnerships. And this is by no means, a complete kind of list of the partnerships that we engage in Texas. I think a big part has also been the local school systems, local churches. We've actually recently developed some really interesting partnerships with women who are independent business people with Avon and Mary Kay, doing outreach through those strategies. But, of course, NCLR, LULAC, National Hispanic Council on Aging, very important, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce for having the business owners, but also the business owners thinking about their role as community leaders and how they can talk with their customers. Because if their customers have health insurance, they're going to be less likely to have bankruptcy and continue to be able to be customers of that business. And then one of our really great partnerships that we've really gotten off the ground in Houston and Brownsville is with the Consulate General of Mexico. Both with the Consulate of Mexico, Ecuador, Bolivia, they have all stepped up to help a lot in getting their immigration population who's here in the state connected with their coverage options. And then, of course, the community health centers. And we also developed resources for partners. So a lot of our partners, are part of this community, and they teach us a lot of the things on how engagement can be happening. But a lot of partners, this is not a part of their normal work, and they're like, how do we even begin to talk about it? And so through our national office, and I think with the support of the Latino Roundtable, developing some engagement toolkits that really talked about messaging and talking points. What are the things that work the best in the communities? Who are the people that you need to talk to? Even down to if you're going to go to a church, how you should probably dress and what's the name of the person you should address at that place. Connecting these with folks who can develop those local relationships. And then also, in addition to things like the toolkit, developing those talking points and those messaging strategies for surrogates to also message on locally. And then, as you were saying, the importance of Spanish language media cannot be overestimated. So some post-enrollment survey work that we did, really trying to figure out what's the difference between the people who enrolled and the people who didn't enroll. When we asked for those people who enrolled, where's the number one place that you found out about your opportunities to enroll? And amazingly, 45% of them, the plurality of them, said through local television news, which was surprising to me, but a huge lesson for us in the importance of media in general and for the larger population. But the Spanish language media has always been seeing themselves more in terms of advocates for their communities and educating in their communities. So Univision, Telemundo, the local stations in some of the markets, the numerous print media that's out there, having them tell the story of what's going on was very, very fruitful for getting people to enrollment sites. So some of the things that we learned and some of the outcomes were that through the research that we did, that consumers were twice as likely to be successful, all consumers were twice as likely to be successful if they had in-person assistance to getting to that point where they're purchasing the plan. Latinos and African Americans were 43% more likely to seek in-person help, and Latinos were 3 times more likely than their white counterpart to want to see an in-person assister. One of the things that I didn't talk about a whole lot was is our follow-up strategy. So, and I have one in my bag, but we use something that we call a commitment card. It's basically a contact card, and the consumer writes their information on one half of it. There's information on the top about enrollment. You detach it. They get the one that has the info about enrollment, and we take the info card back with us. And through our partners, through our volunteers, through people who are out there in the community, having that one-on-one engagement, collecting that information, getting people's names and phone numbers, means that we're able to call and follow up with them. And that we have a call program that we are consistently calling them throughout the enrollment period and repeatedly calling them until they can confirm that they've gotten enrolled. But while we're calling them, saying, where do you need, you know, where do you live in the community? Here's a place who can help you with an in-person appointment. Let's set up that appointment, following up with them a couple of days before. Do you have your documents that you can do? And really following them throughout this process. And towards the end of open enrollment in March, we were able to, it's such a large calling universe that we were actually able to run an experiment on it and say, you know, how impactful really is this multiple touch strategy? And what we did was we carved off a sample of folks that we held in control and no longer contacted them throughout the period. Some of them had been contacted probably about once already, but as we ramped up our calling in the later months in open enrollment, we pulled them out. And then after open enrollment, we did some follow-up surveys, and then going through our own data, comparing the two parties or the two groups, is that we found that after one contact, people had about a 20% likelihood of completing enrollment. And these are known identified uninsured people. After two contacts, it went up to 22%. After three contacts, it went up to 28%. After four or more, it goes up to 33%. Now, you may think, okay, from 20% to 33%, we're still not seeing, you know, 80% enrolling. But what it means is that without the continuous calling, answering the questions, driving them through that process, we have basically a 13% bump here, a 13-point bump in people who are getting enrolled. What we found is the impact is actually stronger for different populations. So it's strongest amongst youth, the growth between the first contact point to the fourth contact point, which, you know, some of us need some nagging, and sort of follows it through. African Americans also have higher growth rates. For the Latino community, they're more likely to act on that first contact than the larger pool. But we don't see quite as much growth over time, which says to us that we need to continue having even more contacts over that fourth contact. And it's not just the phone calls, but it's also, you know, you call, you meet them at a information table, that's one contact, you get their information. You give them a call and invite them to an enrollment event, that's a second contact. They come to the enrollment event, and they sit down with a sister. That's a third contact. We follow them up, and we trace it throughout the entire process. And so through the survey that I was talking about earlier, which is the Health Reform Monitoring Survey out of Rice University, with their sample, who they were surveying, comparing whites with Hispanics, found that Hispanics enrolled almost at twice the rate of whites in that sample. And in Texas, we've seen some bigger declines for non-Medicaid expansion states in the uninsured rate based on some of the modeling that we've done. But there are still a lot of barriers. Undocumented immigrants. It's estimated that there's about 1 million undocumented immigrants in Texas alone. There's about 1 million more people who are in the Medicaid gap. About 600,000 of them are Hispanic. And so this will continue to have a huge impact on the community about whether or not they are going to be able to be covered. For the second open enrollment period, having learned from some of these initial lessons, of course, we're increasing education on how you use your insurance. So we did a series of training summits and education summits across the state this summer that was really focused on, now you've got coverage, what do you do with it? Basic lessons about, even though you're not using your insurance every month, you still need to be paying your premium. How do you find a doctor? You know, if you haven't gotten your insurance card, where do you go? All of those basic things, which were fairly well attended, and now we're putting that into the larger education process for when people enroll and into the follow-up process. And then we also worked a lot to increase the number of in-person assisters that there are in Texas. So we worked with some of those churches who we had initially worked with on outreach to get them registered and certified as certified application counselors, and then get them additional training with other navigator groups so that that church could have an enrollment event or have an enrollment station at the church itself, and then have volunteers from the community help enroll other members of the community into coverage. We also developed a scheduling system that is was first piloted in North Carolina in the first open enrollment period. But basically, when you have across, and particularly in the FFM states, but in all of the states, you have multiple agencies who have enrollment assisters on their staff or in their network, but they all have their own schedule system. They all have their own things that they're working into. And so by creating a unified scheduling system where all of the different agencies would put their schedules together into this one web platform, meant that when we are out in the community or we're doing telephone follow-up or anything like that, we can immediately say, put in someone's zip code and find them an appointment, schedule them into that appointment at that moment so that there isn't like a loss in that transition. So that actually just rolled out this weekend. And on top of that, we still very much think about, when we think about outreach in Texas, it always comes through a lens of Latino outreach. It's a huge focus of the kind of work that we're doing. But there are other immigrant populations, and particularly in cities as diverse as Houston or Dallas, where some of the lessons from the Latino community are very applicable. And so we are thinking strongly about what that looks like, because we want to serve all of the uninsured in Texas and make sure that they get covered. I did not include a contact slide, but I believe my email is on the website, and I have my cards, and I'm happy to share with anybody here. So thank you so much.